Heavenly Father, we praise you for the cross where our Savior gave his life to pay the penalty for our sins. He had done no sin, not a single wrong in his entire life. And he then willingly, as the spotless Lamb of God, laid his life down for us, that he could take the punishment that we deserved and that had to be given. He was willing to take that on himself instead of us, so we could go free. And what he calls upon us to do is to believe on him, to trust in him, his finished work at Calvary, to save us. And as we do, his Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit comes in, makes us new, regenerates us. We are born again by the Holy Spirit, never to die again, never to be separated again, not for any work which we have done, but for the complete work that Jesus did for us at Calvary. We praise you for these things, and we praise you that there by faith we received our sight. We see things clearly now that we did not see before we knew him. And Father, we thank you for our great and glorious Savior and for what he did for us that day. Drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love we owe. Here, Lord, we give ourselves away. 'Tis all that we can do. Father, thank you that we can worship him today, worship you, lift your name on high. Remember all that Jesus did for us as we come to his table again today. We pray that you will be pleased and honored at what we do here, that we will rightly glorify your name in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we partake of those elements in just minutes from now. And we pray that this entire hour will be pleasing in your sight and bring honor and glory to your name. We pray that you'd fill Pastor as he comes and delivers the message. We pray that you would speak through him to us by your word. And may we learn and be challenged and encouraged from the things that we hear. May we leave changed people, closer to you, more like your son, and proclaiming him more in greater power and greater faithfulness. Bless this hour, we pray, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Romans chapter 4. Okay. Beginning at verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what says the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh not is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received a sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. I have another announcement here. It says, if anyone would like to contribute to a care package for Dara Keller, the missionary's daughter at Lancaster Bible College, please bring the items in by February the 20th. So you've got a couple weeks, I guess, there to do that. Bring that in so she can, survive this year in college. You know how that goes. All right, well, we're happy to have Annette Canos with us this morning. And she is going to favor us with a song, right? Okay, very good. Chapter 4. Let's pause for a prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity to be in your house once again. We thank you for each one who is here. And we thank you, Lord, for the beautiful music. We just ask you to bless and help each one of us to draw closer to you, that we might truly walk in fellowship with you and do that which is well-pleasing in your sight. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have to come together this way and to refresh ourselves and to worship and adore you. So we ask you, Father, to bless this church. We thank you for each one of the people here. And for those who cannot be with us today, we do pray especially for them. You'll watch over them and keep them in your care and restore them to health or whatever other problem they may be facing. And Lord, we just thank you for the freedom that we have to be here and for this country in which we live. We thank you that we still have the opportunity to come together. And so we ask you, Father, to bless this service, bless your word to our hearts. May we take it into our lives and profit from it. We do pray, our Father, that you'll be with those who are going through difficult times, those who are being persecuted, those who are suffering. We pray that you'll restore them and bless them, meet their needs. Thank you so much for all your goodness to us and for the grace of God that sustains us day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we pointed out last week, justification by faith is the great theme of the book of Romans that we're looking at. How can man, who is sinful and separated from God, be made right with him? It's not, according to what we saw last week in Romans chapter 3, I want to look at that for a few moments. in verse 21, it says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." And in verse 28 says, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." So it's not by obedience to the law that we can be right in God's sight. The law condemns. It condemns us by showing us our sins, but we cannot. It cannot save us. It can only point out our faults, our defects, but it can't do anything about it. It's not by obedience to the law. Justification, rather, comes through our Lord Jesus Christ alone. Look with me in chapter 3, verse 22. It says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus." Notice the three words here in this passage that were very important. Justification, that we're talking about in these days. It means to be declared righteous before God. God counts us as being righteous. The believing sinner is justified because Christ, having borne his sins on the cross, has been made unto him righteousness. Christ has made us righteous in him. Redemption, it's the second word, means to deliver by paying a price. Here it means freedom from sin and its consequences for the believer, because Christ paid the price with his own precious blood. The third word is propitiation, kind of a word we don't throw around too often. I guess the average person might not be familiar with this word, but it has to do with a place where sins are blotted out. It means that the death of Christ has fully satisfied, that's the idea, satisfaction, satisfied the righteous demands of God and has made possible the forgiveness of sins. There's no thought in this propitiation of placating a vengeful God. That's, you know, a heathen idea that they have. You have to offer up sacrifices to please this God. But it's rather, it's doing the by doing right by his holy law, and so making it possible for him righteously to show mercy. Verse 26, he says, "To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness," the righteousness of God, "that he might be just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus." So he is satisfied with what Christ did on the cross. We'll be commemorating that this morning after the service as we have the Lord's Supper together. We always want to do that in remembrance of him, because of all that he has done for us. Justification must be accepted by faith. It's mentioned over and over and over again, isn't it? It's our faith. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, in chapter 4, that we read a little earlier, we see an example of this, an illustration. Paul is drawing from the past and speaking about Abraham as an example of a man justified by faith. We find here, it says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh has found? Now you might think about Abraham, there's a lot said about him over in the book of Genesis. It goes through his life, it speaks of him being the friend of God. And how did he become that? He walked with God for many years. But how was he justified in God's sight? Now, Abraham, of course, was the hero of the entire Jewish nation at that time. He was the father, you know, that everyone looked up to and reverenced. And Paul chose him as an illustration here because of this. And if there was anyone who would be accepted by God on his own merit, by his works, then it would be Abraham, right? And yet, we find here Paul says that Abraham was not justified by his works. He was justified by his faith. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He took God at his word. He believed in what he had said, and that is what God counted as righteousness for this man, his faith. He believed what God had told him, and cast himself upon the grace and mercy of God. So that's what we're looking at here. The difference between this. How is a man justified? And it says if in verse 2, if Abraham were justified by works, he can glory in that. He says, but not before God. You know, God doesn't accept that. Whatever we do has nothing to do with what how God views it. Now, once a person has put their faith in Christ, I'm sure God looks at us and wants us to accomplish his will. It says that we're called upon to do the good works that God has ordained for us to do, right? But that is not what saves us. And of course, keeping the law at this time, Abraham couldn't possibly keep the law because the law had not yet been given, right? There was no Ten Commandments at this time. It comes later. And here he's pointing out, it's in verse 5, it says, to him that worketh not, someone's not, you haven't done anything, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. See? That's what does it. It's faith. By grace are you saved through faith. So this is justification is by faith. This is how Abraham was justified, and it's how any other person is justified. They quote here from David. This is actually from Psalm 32. Verse 6. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, David was a great man, a great king, and one that, it says, was a man after God's own heart. And yet he was not perfect. His works were not completely perfect. And he says that that's not the way a person is considered righteous. It's not our life, it's our faith, putting faith in Christ. And here, David, of course, put his faith in God, and that's how he became a believer. All right? So then we see justifications by grace and not law. Verse 9, it says, does this blessedness come upon the circumcision only? That is, the Jewish people. Whenever it talks about circumcision, he's talking about those who are the Jewish people. And the uncircumcision, of course, is everybody else, right? The Gentiles. And here, he says it doesn't really matter, one way or the other, whether you're Jewish or whether you're Gentile, you are redeemed the same way, right? You are, the only way of salvation is through through Christ. And here, it says, we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. And it was reckoned to him before he had this ceremony, this rite of circumcision. Quite a few years. Abraham, it's in Genesis 15, I believe, where it says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And then several chapters later is when he's 99 years old and receives the rite of circumcision. So there are two different things. It's being obeying the Lord, but the righteousness itself comes from our faith, faith in what God has said. So it says here, verse 12, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. So, in other words, you know, some people depend upon their life, how good they are, you know, for trying to keep the law and doing the best they can and going through the ceremonies, right? Our ceremonies, of course, are what? Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Some people think, you know, if you take the Lord's Supper regularly and all of this, that, you know, that puts you in a good standing with God. Some people do it every day, I think, is what I understand. And yet, that is not what saves us. We have to get the horse before the cart, right? Instead of the other way around. You'd have a hard time driving down the road if you've got your cart in front of the horse, right? It's not going to go very well. And so, the first thing is, and this is what we keep hammering away about, is that justification in the sight of God comes by His grace and mercy poured out upon us. That's through our faith, through what Christ Jesus did on the cross to die and to satisfy the righteousness of God. So that's the idea. And in verse 11, it speaks here about Abraham being the father of us all those who believe. He's the father of all them that believe, not only of the Jewish people, but also of everyone else. And we see the contrast here between the law and grace. In verse 13, it says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. As I said before, the law had not yet even been given. So it has to be completely separate from that. The key word here is promise. The promise of God. He promised to Abraham that he would have a son and fulfilled that promise 25 years later. You know, he had to wait quite a while, didn't he? And yet, the promise, and God promises us that if we will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, receive Him as our Lord and Savior, that we'll have eternal life, right? What a wonderful promise that is, huh? And God keeps His promises, doesn't He? You know, He doesn't renege on His promises at all. And so we can put our faith and trust in Him. But that is what He requires. He requires that we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Once we do that, then we have eternal life, and then we can live for him and serve him in the way that we should. At least that's the way it should be. But our salvation depends upon what Christ has done for us and our faith and trust in him. And we find here justification is by the power of the resurrection and not by human efforts. We're at verse 18. It says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Okay, so here we find Abraham and Sarah. I know you've heard this story. Abraham, 100 years old. Sarah's 90 years old. And God says, you're going to have a son. Now, would that take faith to believe that promise? What do you think? I believe it would. I mean, it's just not ordinary. And here it says that they were dead. I mean, as far as having a child's concerned, they're dead. 100 years old, 90 years old, it's not possible. You couldn't find a doctor anywhere that's going to say, oh yes, you can have a child. Nope. It's not going to work. And this is a miracle. God worked. He brought life out of death. Right? They were dead. Spiritually speaking. I mean, not spiritually speaking, but physically speaking, I guess you'd say, as far as having a child was concerned. It was impossible. So God had to perform a miracle in order for them to have this son. And that's like the resurrection. Jesus died on the cross. All of his disciples were sad about that. They didn't know what to do. They were desolate. But 3 days later, he came forth from the grave, didn't he? Yeah. And here we find the resurrection. And verse 24 says, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So here we find the Lord Jesus died not for his sins. He had no sin. He was perfect. He was righteous. And yet he died on the cross to pay for the price of sin for each and every one of us. And made it possible that anyone who would put his faith and trust in him could have eternal life. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And we find here that this is the basis for our salvation, and our faith in him is the only means by which we can be justified in God's sight. This is the plan of salvation that God devised, that we can truly be born again by the Spirit of God and become the children of God, justified freely through his grace and his mercy. So Abraham here is the great example to us of the man of faith, the man who believed, and God justified him. And so we find this wonderful example for us It's not by our works, it's not by the law, it's not by ceremony or anything else. It's simply by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. He saves us from our sins. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, this morning for your precious word to our hearts, and pray now that you will bless as we have the communion service shortly. Pray that your will be accomplished through it all, that we might remember you, remember the Lord Jesus, and follow him. May your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to sing.